Welcome to the G&JB show. We're calling this season 3, episode 1. Jack Bowen, how are you going?
I'm good, G. How are you?
Good, mate. Look, we didn't do a massive season 2. The coronavirus, there's not much to talk about as far as boxing goes. But I think we're getting back on track. What do you think?
Yeah, well, we couldn't even come to the gym to do it, so.
That's right, yeah.
Or come to your house.
We did a couple of Instagram Zoom meetings and stuff like that. So, mate, it was a crazy time. How did you keep yourself active, I suppose, or you're mentally busy? How did you keep yourself busy?
Over the break, well, to be honest, I took a little break from boxing, which I know a lot of people still were putting up on Instagram how hard they were working and stuff, which was great for them. But for me, it was like a forced break, and it was like the only break, big break I've had since I was probably like 13 since I started. So just having that forced break led me to do things and find new hobbies and new outlets, and focused a lot of my energy into playing golf, which was something I took up over the break, which was actually a really good thing. Like leading into now, we're in kind of like a training camp at the moment. So having that little outlet outside of the gym has been great. And I'm glad I found that through COVID. I got to spend a lot of time with my family, and I probably gave them the shits a lot along the way, but it was good to spend like that quality time that you don't usually get when you come home moody or tired from cutting weight or training hard. So no, it was good to spend that quality time with my family and play a bit of golf.
So you see, you studied golf.
Yeah.
How did that start? What happened? Did you go to Topgolf or what happened?
So my best mate Gabe, he was playing with his dad a fair bit, like twice a week for a while.
That sounds weird.
Yeah, well,
is that what Gabe does? Gabe and his dad do?
Yeah, they play golf together.
Oh, okay, golf.
And he ended up saying, I should go down the range because I was complaining how bored I was, and it was one of the only things you could do.
Yeah, true. Like, yeah,
leaving the house, go play some golf. So I went to the range, and then, as my personality is, I just get addicted if I like something, and ended up going there. I think I went nearly every day for 2 weeks, and then it cost me too much money. And I said to him, what are we going to do? We're going to go start playing. And then I started playing golf and started off horrible. Didn't enjoy my first game. But then by the time it finished, I was like,
did you play 18 the first game you played?
I was going to say
18 first up's too much.
No,
anyway.
I would have had about 30 lost golf balls and would have cracked the shits. But I didn't score myself for the first couple of weeks, so I was just no expectations.
That's probably a good idea, actually.
Yeah.
Don't score yourself so you can enjoy the game.
Yeah, I was just enjoying the process. And then eventually just Gabe and I got a membership down at Meadowbrook, and it was only like $350 for a whole year if you're like 18 to 34, and then you just pay extras if you get a buggy.
Yeah, nice.
So I went and bought my own little walker buggy, and I just walk in between now. Now the scores have come right down, and each week getting a little bit better, and then you might have a week where you shoot right back up again, but my mentality towards it, it's a lot better.
So golfing tragic. Have you got like favorite golfers now, people that you watch and style yourself on?
Yeah. There's a Northern Irishman called Rory McIlroy. I love watching him. Big driver of the ball. He's only not a little fella, but he's a bit skinnier and stuff, and he's got a nice swing.
Happy Gilmore?
Yeah, not so much. If I could drive it that
Shooter
far.
Shooter McGavin?
I don't know who that is.
He's the guy in the show.
Even like taking an interest in watching like some little mini series they have on Tiger Woods, and now they're like similar to the ESPN.
Just
kind of things, and just seeing different athletes from different sports and how they apply themselves. And
the backstory.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's it.
It's good to learn the backstory. I think that's why I listen to the Matty Johns podcast a lot. He has different guests, or they always talk about the backstories of people, the things that you don't see when you're watching a game of football. I like that about athletes in general. They could play, like when we all loved watching Michael Jordan. Yeah. It was about the backstory, what happened behind the scenes. I think that's the interesting stuff.
Yeah, well,
a lot of players, whatever
it might
be.
That's what I was watching on Tiger Woods. And they had like all the new school golfers talking about how much he changed their game.
Yeah.
And they all grew up watching him, and then they eventually start playing alongside him. But he was one of the golfers that come through that was like pushing the boundaries with, but he'd get up, run 6 miles in the morning.
So he was an athlete rather than just a golfer.
Exactly right. Doing strength and conditioning and and just bettering himself as a rounded athlete than just going out and, like, a big John Daly and smoking durries and
worked at the time. Beers, worked at the time.
But you think, well, when I thought of a golfer, I never thought of a supreme athlete.
Yeah.
But you look at the guys on tour now, and they're supreme athletes, and they're doing things that to enhance their swing speeds and just get longer drives, or just they're well-rounded athletes.
Hey, there's a lot of similarities, I think, between golf and boxing. Yeah. Rotation of the hips, the shoulders.
I think that's why I picked a lot up a bit quickly, but then also the intensity is probably a little bit different. Like, you come here and boxing's so full on in your training and everything. Like, your running's always hard, your sparring's always hard. Everything's pretty hard in boxing.
I think you know,
physically,
thinking outside of the box a little bit, maybe the golf might, long rounds, like 18 holes, may help you concentrate for longer, like as you're now building up to do longer round fights, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Just help you concentrate a lot longer.
Like, when I'm walking, it's like it's probably a 3.5 hour game, and you've got to concentrate, and your whole sole concentration is hit your next shot, and you've got to play it shot by shot instead of like, oh, I'm no triple bogey on that.
Trying to get the end goal.
I'm done for the day.
Yeah, it's day by day.
Then you can still eventually get your score back down or somewhat respectable.
Yeah, nice.
But yeah, no, it's been an expensive ride as well. But we'll get there.
Mate, you've also been working the school program this term. How have your schools been going? You've had about 8 or 9 schools, I think, to work with. Mate, that's been going good. Any. It's not really about talent, but have you seen any talented kids that could progress?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
There's a lot of them, I think.
I've got a program, your program, outside of it's YMCA. That's probably a few of the boys there, honestly. If they come down the gym, then that's probably the hardest part.
They get their headspace.
Because it's school labor, they've got to be there. They've got to come to the class. Although I've just started doing Fridays there now.
Yeah.
And two of the boys came at 9 o'clock, and those boys probably wouldn't get up till 10 o'clock to get to school on a normal day. So,
and that's what it's really about. It's about pulling their heads in externally rather than about the boxing. But I take my hat off to YMCA for giving us 4 days a week.
Yeah, so we started there 2 days a week, and then slowly built up to 3, and now we're there 4 days a week, and the boys are like, they're not going to be angels. They're never going to be angels. But if they can be just respectable members of society and just know that, just be confident that they can handle themselves, be confident that they can actually apply themselves and listen and learn in class, the ability to be respectful as well is a big thing for those boys. They're so respectful now.
Yeah.
Because I think they've got a newfound respect
That's right.
Like, even my craft and what I do outside of boxing. And, like, they get to see little clips on Instagram and stuff. But I think now they're understanding what the whole package is. And it's not just a one-minute video on Instagram. It's no representation of my life.
Yeah, it's
hard work. I even had some of the boys out. We got the Bayside PCYC as well. But that's more of a it's not like our mentorship program. That's
it's building something kids that they want to be there
and they want to fight. And we're talking, and a couple of the boys are like, I forgot what the topic was, but we were sitting down after they had a sparring session, and they were like, oh, but you're a pro boxer, you wouldn't have too much to worry about. Like, you got things coming in, and you got, like, you'd be a world champion in 3 years. Yeah, but boys, and I had to explain to them, like, even now, I struggle getting by week to week.
Yeah.
It's just like most of my friends are tradesmen or finish their uni degrees. They're making 80 odd grand to 100 grand a year.
Yeah.
And they've got a house, they've got a car, they've got missus and kids maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
But they're on that road to success in that path, which is great. Yeah. But I had to explain to them, like, I'm not – like, last year I couldn't even fill my car up.
Yeah, that's
like, I couldn't even –
It's all funny because people think professional boxing, they think big money.
Yeah, and these boys are supposed to, I'm not, this, I love this shit.
Yeah,
this is why
Yeah.
If if I didn't love it, all of that would weigh me down and I wouldn't be able to do it.
Yeah.
And fuck, sometimes it does. Yeah. But
it's like you turn professional terms as a footballer, you can live, that's your job.
You're on 80K a year as a rookie.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Here, I'd be lucky, you know, we're just scraping by, but and that's not just me, that's you too.
And your first year of boxing, you're not going to make 10 grand.
Yeah, but you're not going to make money off me.
That's right,
we're just scraping by we love it and we trust that one day it will pay off.
Yeah. But
I had to explain to them that, you know, boys, this is a hard gig and I didn't want to, like, downplay what they're doing or, like, kind of discourage the dream. But if they want to do it, they've got to want
it. It's got to be love and passion. Yeah,
you can't just half-ass it.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of sacrifice along the way. Like, to get through, we spoke about it before, but to get through, like, 17, probably, like, 21, 22, you've got to
have... That's hard. Yeah. That's where a lot of the kids fall out. We've just had a kid from that's just restarted, that started up with us after a few year layoff from another gym who's living elsewhere. And he said he just needed those few years off because it's so hard as a kid. And again, that 17 to 20, I suppose, that 17 to 20 years old, really hard to get through, you know what I mean? But luckily some people come back to the gym or start boxing again or have found something else. You know what I mean?
And it doesn't mean you're not, like, going to be a good person or you're not going to – you just find different goals and you find
Everyone's got a different
outlet. But
I'm just saying
if you really want the dream, it is a dream at some stages. Like, you think about it and it seems so far off. But then you think, well, I've gone 11 years. What's another 3 or 4?
Yeah, a few years.
And then it's probably not even another 3 or 4. It's probably another 10.
Yeah, that's right. Unless you've got an Olympic gold medal – you're starting as a professional from the bottom.
Yeah.
You know, that's the way it is.
I'm okay with that. Yeah. But it does weigh you down sometimes. And I think the kids, they just needed to understand that what you see on Instagram or what you think you see at a fight night. Because at the fight night, it is a bit
it's that
exciting.
Way. And that's why you do it, because of that night. Yeah.
Yeah. But outside of that, it's just struggling
it's
to get by.
Work.
Isn't
yeah,
it?
That's yeah. right. It's 100%. Mate, so... looks like we may have a fight at the end of September.
Possibly,
So we, you know, we don't have opponents yet, but it's looking like you're in training camp for that sort of that now.
Yep.
What's it been like from switching over from not boxing to back boxing? Was it hard to go, right, shit, I've got a fight, I've got to start now? Or did it take you a while to get your head in the space, or are you not in the space yet?
It took me a while when I first came back. And you know what? I've been supposed to be doing extras and stuff, but to be honest, when without an immediate goal in mind or something to look forward to immediately, it's fucking hard, G. Like,
yeah.
And I've never wanted to do boxing, even when I was younger. Like, you get pushed into things because you've got your dad, or like maybe you might say, like, I really see potential, and you end up just doing things. But since I've been about 18, 19,
yeah.
I've always wanted to do it because I wanted to do it, not because anyone else says I should do it. And that's a big part of my decision to even stay pro. I stay amateur after comp games. I felt I had more to prove. And like
tick that
yourself,
box.
You wanted me to go pro, and that wasn't what I wanted to do.
Mm.
And then same with turning professional. I wanted to do that. And I feel like if I had stayed on, I would have been doing it for everyone else, not for myself.
Stayed on as an amateur?
Yeah.
Well, you wouldn't have done much at the moment. You probably might not have even had a fight this year.
Hindsight.
At least you've had one. Yeah, at least you've had one this year.
It's the best thing that ever happened. Mm. But, I never wanted to do it for anyone but myself because it's such a hard sport. And if I can't get up and do it, then I'm going to get hurt.
Yeah,
That's the end of the day. And coming back to that, when with the gyms first started back, I was happy to come to the gym and train, but doing the extras, I wasn't doing them because I didn't feel like I wanted to do it. You get a fight date, now I feel motivated.
This is what I do
like
now.
This is what I want to do. Mm. Like even today, I got back from work this morning at YMCA and usually like the last probably few months I would have just gone back to sleep, I had a shower and gone and had something to eat and I just went straight for a run.
Mm. Yeah.
And it's just back into a routine that I know, but it's because I know I've got a fight date and this is what I look forward to, this is what I do.
That's what it's about, you know. You aim to get to 2-0, then 3-0, you just keep working up, and then before long, the door, every little fight, the door opens a little bit further for that big opportunity. And then when the big opportunity comes, unfortunately, a lot of Australian fighters aren't ready. But we've got to make sure you're ready when that big opportunity comes.
And that's like, to say not doing my extras doesn't mean I'm not ready. I'm still training 5-6 days a week. It just means I'm not doing like a fight camp. Ready.
Yeah,
I'm
that's
not
right.
Fight,
yeah, yeah.
Fight fit.
You're not doing 2 a day and extras and all that sort
of
stuff.
Yeah, and if I felt like a meal that I shouldn't really eat when I'm in camp, I would have had it.
Yeah.
But at the moment, it's
cleaning it up a bit.
Yeah, the motivation's there to do it all.
Yeah, nice. Mm. Mate, Eddie Hearn's fight camp.
Yeah, look, to be honest, I didn't get the Natasha Jones fight. I know you watched it.
Yeah,
you've been keen into it.
Yeah,
so
I've been watching
thoughts
it.
On that? Hey,
mate,
what happened?
That was a great fight.
MTK zone.
Yep.
Yeah.
Natasha Jonas versus, what's her name again?
I can't remember the other girl's name. I could probably find it.
She's
for you,
actually the world champion, and I can't even remember her name.
Yeah. What'd that end?
Find it for me, and I'll. Mate, it was a draw, and rightly so.
You believe it was a draw? I know a lot of people.
I may have given Jonas 1 point. That's why I can't argue with the draw.
Right. Okay. Because I know a lot of people had her winning the fight.
Mate, it was.
I haven't seen the fight, but I'll just go for her.
Harper. Harper's who it was.
Okay,
it's Terry Harper.
Yep.
Mate, she's a gritty, hard fighter.
So I saw her fight.
When she won the world title.
Yes, that fight.
Yeah.
But she had a pretty intriguing story too, didn't she?
Yeah,
she
that's right. She gave it away for a bit and everything. Yeah, she was working on a fish and chip shop.
That's right,
Yeah, and she just had a crack at it. But that's the look, to be honest, that's the story most successful people have. Everyone's got a story.
Mm.
It's whether you make it work for you or not. Mate, I like Jonas because she's come back from a bad, bad knockout.
Right.
She represented Great Britain, Olympics, everything like that. She moved on and she had a bad knockout. I don't know if it's must have been a couple of fights ago. And for her to turn around, she's had a baby. She's living a normal life. She's in her 30s.
Yes, she's late 30s too, isn't she?
For her to come back from having the baby, getting knocked out like that, just all things that are hard.
Work against you.
Mate, and for her to fight for a world title and put in a performance like she did, it's definitely worthy of a rematch. And like Eddie Hearn said after the fight, this is not women's boxing anymore. This is boxing.
Yeah.
Like it was a great fight. And mate, another big fight that I'm looking forward to this week is Katie Taylor and Pasoon. Mate, the first one was a blue. That was war.
I watched the first one. I thought, from memory, I thought Katie Taylor was lucky.
And that's what a lot of people said.
Yeah.
It was tight. It was probably similar to the fight we've just been talking about, Harper and Jonas.
I was just waiting for Taylor to. Like she did move like she did as an amateur a bit, but a lot of the time she puts on a good show, Katie Taylor. I don't think she fights for herself sometimes, like where you'd be selfish and just win the fight. She fights for the fans and she fights because
she's an entertainer.
Because it is. She's had women's boxing on the back of
on
the back of her for a long time. So she probably wants to show that.
The reason,
she's easily my favorite.
And she's on the big shows. Like she's headlining this weekend. Well, it's co-headline, but
with White and Povetkin.
Yeah, that'll be a good fight too.
Who you got?
White, cause I like him.
I got White. I think he's developed as a fighter each fight, and you see little things he's doing right. And is he with Dave Caldwell? Now, because I saw a video of them too. They might not be. I'm not too sure. But
no, I don't know. I don't know who his trainer is. I like White.
He's probably.
I think he's good, and I think Dillian White can upset any of the heavyweights in the world. Any of them.
Yeah, he's.
I think he beats Deontay Wilder.
He's definitely top four.
I think he beats Deontay Wilder. Ring Magazine have got him in the. I think they've got Fury, Joshua, White as in number three.
He's fought a lot of good people, and
I honestly think he beats Deontay Wilder.
I think he beats Wilder, and I think that's why they.
I think he can upset any of them.
I think they've pushed that fight down for a long time, Wilder.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
WBC have kind of let it happen, I guess, because they were waiting for a money fight with Fury or
Joshua. They need an American champion, don't they?
Yeah, well, that's true.
They thought they did. They don't have one now. Not a heavyweight champion.
Wait
for it to be. the heavyweight championship of the world to be out of America, that's good for the rest of the world. It ain't good for America.
Although, in coming back, I think Povetkin's a lively opponent.
Saying that, Povetkin will be ready this time.
Mm.
You know, well, when I say this time, he's probably getting to the, you know,
later stage of his career,
let's say that. And, mate, I think he'll be on 100%. This will be a real, real fight. It's not an offer someone with a name 2 weeks' notice. He's had months' notice for this fight. You know, he'll be ready for this. But Taylor Pearson, mate.
Well, he's only – well, I'm just looking it up, yeah, up in his box rate. He's only had two losses, and they're to Joshua and Klitschko.
Yeah.
So, look, if that's anything to go off,
mate, he's
beat David Price – who else we got there? Takum, he's beaten Takum, KO. Look, there's a Sim Ruman.
Beat Lucas as well. Yeah. Lucas Brown.
Oh, yeah, that must be it. Oh, Huey Fury, there you go. Yeah, no, there's a few good wins there. Like, definitely could cause an upset. I just can't see White losing because I just think he's young, hungry. And
He's hungry, and that's it. He hasn't had his shot yet.
He's a little bit twisted. He's upstairs, different. But, no, that'd be a good fight. That makes for a good fight.
And, mate, look, let's be honest. Mate, all eyes are on Australia at the moment. We're going to have the biggest crowd in 2020 at a boxing event so far with Zoo versus Horn. 16,000 capacity.
Yep.
Look, obviously.
Is that how much it is?
Yeah.
16, okay.
16,000 capacity. I think the stadium holds 50,000 or something, but because of COVID rules, 16,000.
That's a good crowd for, well, as you said, it's probably breaking records at the moment.
Eddie Hearn over in England has to do it in his backyard, like with no crowd.
Yeah.
Mate, you know, I was watching Beyond the Gloves the other night, and Eddie Hearn, the first country he named to put big fights on was Australia.
I think we got the market and the fans for it. We just got to get some momentum. Like with fights like this.
Well, this is what I'm saying. He's talking because of the COVID. What he's talking, he goes, AJ will definitely fight this year. And Michelle Phelps said, so where's it possible? And he goes, well, let's be honest, USA's out. England, possibility. But you've got to look at Australia because it's the only place they can have crowds.
Yeah.
You imagine if that came to Australia, to Queensland?
Yeah,
because Queensland are the ones that are doing stuff.
The first flight, yeah, or hopefully one of the fights on the undercard. That'd be even better.
Oh, that'd be even better.
But yeah, look, Horn Zoo, that makes for a good fight.
Who wins?
Zoo.
I'm going to go Horn.
Okay. Well,
yeah, and you know what? I've changed my mind every day. I've changed my mind that many times.
Why Zoo? Technically sound.
Yep.
I think in the Brubaker fight, he showed a lot of maturity as well. Like
patience.
Slowly broke him down. Mm. Definitely skill set. Like, as I mentioned, technically sound skill set. I think he's got the right mentality for it. He's young, hungry. And I think Jeff walks onto his shots.
Mm.
I know the counter argument's probably Jeff's work rate and he can rough him up, but I just don't think we've seen that same hungriness from Jeff since the Pacquiao fight. I know that's probably
that's what I bring it down to.
Say, but yeah. I didn't see it against Crawford. I didn't see it against probably that last Zarafa fight. But I think he boxed well against Zarafa the second time.
Yeah.
The first one, I don't think his heart was
there. No.
The second one, I think he had a point to prove, but.
Still and against Chalk, we didn't really get to see it. He just went for him early and it worked. Yeah.
Disregarding that one.
Yeah.
But I just don't think we saw it. I think we saw it in the second fight was Zarafa, but he still could have got put away in the ninth.
Oh, it was.
And I'm a massive Jeff Horn fan. And look, I wish both the boys luck, but I just can't see Zoo getting beaten. I think it's either a lot. How many rounds is it? 10?
It will be 10, I guess. I don't think it'll be 12. Is really world titles nowadays, anyway.
So possibly a late stoppage, but I see Tim winning.
Mate, I've changed my mind every single day, but I'm going to stick with Horn.
Yep.
And I have reasons for Tim winning, and I have reason for Jeff winning. Yep. This one said, this is a real fight. This is a real exciting fight.
It is. I don't think the odds are fair for Jeff, like $4 or something.
Yeah.
For him to. the winner. I think Tim might be low $2, but it, look, in saying that, every time I've said Jeff won't win, he's won.
Mm.
So, and every time I've said he'll win, like recently, he's lost.
Yeah.
So I could be wrong, but I just think Tim.
My reasonings for Tim winning would be the following, similar to yours. Strong, headstrong, naturally bigger. Got an unbeaten record. He doesn't know how to lose. And he's not a loser. He's a winner. You know what I mean? He's still got that. Even though he's been brought up in Australia, he's still got that Russian winning mindset, which I mean, as far as
win at all costs,
come through the family. You know what I mean? That's when you grow up in that family environment, your dad and your grandfather didn't know any different. So you've been brought up the similar way as well. Like it's win at all costs. And that's how I see Tim, great boxer, beautiful boxer. I've watched him since he was a kid, mate. Excellent boxer, can punch a bit. Can miss a bit against awkward people too. Okay. Can miss a bit with awkward people. So that's where the best Jeff Horn has to turn up. If the best Jeff Horn doesn't turn up, Tim will win. I think Jeff will turn up. Jeff knows he has to win this to keep his career alive or to go on to bigger and better things. I think this is a must-win for Jeff. Jeff at his best is awkward for everybody. Everyone's who ever sparred him hates it. Everyone's ever fought him hates it.
Yeah.
It's just, but I think that's the best Jeff Horn. He has to bring the hunger that he brought against Manny Pacquiao and he beats Tim.
Okay.
If he doesn't, I think Tim wins. But I'm going to go with Jeff because I think he knows it's the last hurrah. And I think that's why he'll come through. Well, look, like I said, my mind has changed every fucking day. It's
different.
Well,
we're not going to agree on everything, are we?
It's different, but we'll find. And that's why it's exciting, though.
It's a good fight, yeah. It shows that argument of, look, people say Tim's fought no one, but I think even like the Camilleri win, that's a good win. Brubaker, like he's had some good wins, and on big stages, his main event headlined a few times. And
I agree with that. You said Camilleri, but if Jeff was against Camilleri, you'd expect Jeff to win hands down.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean? And that's where I think...
He's still a good name, like, Jeff in that division. That's all I'm...
Costa, he's like, yeah, you are one of the best ever. Jeff Horn has been to Vegas, fought on the big, big, big time.
Mm.
He beat Manny Pacquiao. The quality of your opponent is not the same. The experience is all with Jeff. Does he turn up for a fight that he thinks he's of lesser quality? And I think that's what could bring him unstuck, but I don't think it will. Mm. So anyway, that's my thoughts.
Right.
So we'll see how it goes.
It
makes for a good fight. Mate, we've got our own Jess Cashman on the undercard too.
Jessica.
All the best, Jess. Mate, she hasn't been chosen as the A-side, but she's going to come back the A-side. I think she's going excellent. She's working really hard.
Ordered my Team Cashman shirts as well.
Good.
For the Bowen household.
Guys, so everybody support Jess. She's got T-shirts for sale, mate. And you know what she's doing with the money? She's giving it back to Boxing Beyond Barriers so we can improve more kids' lives. Like, that just shows the human that she is. Get behind her. And, mate, we'll be back weekly from now on, Jacko.
Yep.
We've got some big news coming with a friend of ours that'll be working on the show. But in the meantime, we'll keep going. Podcast.
Hopefully get my handicap down and we're on.
Check it out. Thank you.
Thank you.
See you next time.
See you, Jake.